Thank you so much. What a joy it is for Janet and I to be able to be with you today and through this week in this gospel meeting. It's always a wonderful time when brethren are together and we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to express my thanks and appreciation to the elders for the invitation that they extended to me to be with you. I trust that as we study the Bible together, that it'll be a source of strength and encouragement to you. And if I can be of help to you in any way while I am here, then do not hesitate to let me know. Now, I don't know. I guess the best way to do that is to just get with Adam. Because whatever he tells me to do is probably what I'll do with one of the elders. And so we'll do that. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've got this wireless mic. Now, some of you may remember this, but used to, I doubt Adam's old enough to remember, but used to, they had a plug-in right up here, and they had a wire, you know, and the preacher would put it on, you had the wire, and if he's moving, he's stepping over it, you know, and trying to, and there was a little girl sitting with her mama down here. She said, "He won't hurt us if he gets loose, will he?" So maybe we'll not do that. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What shall we do that we may know His works, John 6 tells us. You know, so many times in life, we find ourselves in a situation where we're not sure what do we do. Let me illustrate it maybe like this before we begin to look at some of these things. Several years ago, I learned how to fly an airplane. I've learned to fly in what's called a Cessna Skyhawk 172. Kind of on my mind, especially because I read, I guess it was Friday afternoon, at Peachtree DeKalb Airport there in Atlanta, a Cessna 210. Now, Cessna 210, and I'm sure you don't care about all this detail, and I'm not going into a lot of detail. Cessna 210, a little larger than 172, seats more people. A crash killing four individuals. So as a result of that, kind of on my mind. But here will illustrate what I'm talking about. I was learning to fly, and one of the things that you have to learn how to do when you're going to fly an airplane, especially I'm sure these guys who fly jets and what have you would know, but one of the things you have to learn how to do, and that is to recover from a stall. There are two kinds of stalls. There's a power on and a power off stall. Power on stall would be when you're taking off. You're going down that runway. You lift off of the runway and the power is on. It's on full throttle. And something happens. And so you learn how to recover from that. Power off stall is when, and I'll illustrate like this. You go up, my instructor took me up about 7,000 feet. You go up about 7,000 feet, you pull the power or the throttle back, and you don't have it, just, you know, no throttle there. And you take your stick and you pull back and you put the nose in a straight up position, just like that. When the plane starts shaking, then you recover from that. You generally, that's going to happen when you're landing because you're going to power back when you're landing. So when it starts shaking, well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't mind telling you, scared the living daylights out of me. I mean, that plane is nose up, and that thing starts shaking. I've got the stick back here, and I'm telling you, when it starts shaking, you know what I did? I took that stick and I went right to the firewall of that dude. And now, instead of this way, the plane is doing this. And the instructor looked at me, and here's what he said: "You better do something." Well, what you do is you pull, level your wings, add your power, and so forth. When I think about that, what do you do when you better do something? As you and I look at this, because in the last 20 months or so, you and I have been in a situation that we've never been in before. We've never experienced what we have experienced in the last 20 months. And so as a result of that, Elderships did not know what to do. Members did not know what to do. And so many times in life, you may find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to do. There may be an illness in your family, a wife, a husband, a mom, a dad, son or daughter. There may be something in your family. You don't know what to do. I mean, you're there. It may be not only a sickness or illness situation. You may find yourself in a position where financially you don't know what to do. So many times, as one fellow said, there's too much month left at the end of the money. And so we find ourselves in a financial position in which we're just not really sure, you know, how am I going to handle this kind of a situation? You may be in a position, in a job. You've got a boss. Our daughter, for many years, was with AstraZeneca Pharmaceutical. And all of a sudden, she got a hold of a boss, and now I don't know him, and I didn't look around him, but based on what she had said, probably the guy was a jerk. Now, I don't know if you've ever worked with anyone like that or not, but you may be in a situation at work, and you may have a jerk for a boss. So when you and I look at all of these kinds of situations, it may be a marital situation. So you've got an illness, a financial, a work, a marital situation, and when you look at it, you just don't know what am I going to do in this situation. So today, I want you to look with me, because I'm asking, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Now, I've got about five or six, I believe, things that will help us when you and I look at what we're doing and find out, am I doing what I want to do? Number one, notice this. Moses said unto the people, fear not. Now, let me show you what you've got. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel have been in bondage for 400 and something years. Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh and they let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And Moses sent him a 10-lesson Bible correspondence course. And he learned who God was in a short time. And so finally, he let the people go. Now they leave and they go toward the world. They cross the Red Sea. They come up to the Red Sea. Now, keep this in mind. Here they are. They've been in bondage for 430 years. There's about one point, it depends on who you would read after, maybe 1.3 to 1.6 million people. And they come up on the Red Sea. Now, they've got the Red Sea in front of them. They're in a mountainous area. They've got mountains on each side, and the Egyptian army is pursuing after them. And they said, Moses, what? Now you got no Hebrew to get like this. What in the world are you trying to do to us? You bring us out here, let us die. Were there not enough graves in Egypt? Exodus 14:13. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I want you to remember a couple of things here. Number one, sometime we just need to stop. Stand still. You know, so many times we feel like, well, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. Well, maybe the time has come in some situation where you need to just back up, sit down, and keep in mind the providence of God. See, God, the Bible tells us, you know, the Lord said, I'll be with you. Matthew chapter number 28, you remember, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. You think about what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4, my God shall supply all of your needs. See, so many times, I want to help God out. You remember? Sarah and Abraham, they want, God said, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to have a son. This nation's going to be blessed. Man, we're not having this kid. What's going on here? We're going to help God out. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I want to help God out. But you and I need to learn that there are times when we maybe just need to stand still and let God have an opportunity through His providence. Now, you know, if it's a financial situation, you're not going to get a check in the mail necessarily for $10,000 get you out of it. It's kind of like this that was on television. Have y'all seen these fellows on television? You send us $1,000. And God will bless you in a few days with $5,000. You know what? I'd contact that guy and say, you send me $1,000, he'll bless you with $5,000. See how that works out. So when you and I see this, when Moses said, and you and I, you know, he stretched out that rod over the Red Sea, and the Bible said it parted, and they went through on dry ground. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe strongly in the providence of God. When you and I see and we look at it, because listen to this, Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28, I'm sure many of you know this by heart. The Bible says, for we know. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a great passage of Scripture. The Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Many years ago, I was preaching to the Bremen Church, and we had a lady there, Sister Wright. Anytime somebody was sick, she'd take them a cake, but occasionally she'd come to me on a Wednesday night, and I'd be in the foyer. We lived right next door to the church building. And she would come, and she'd say, Brother Acuff, I left something over at your house for you. Well, I knew what it was because she knew I liked chocolate pie. And so, man, I almost missed Bible class. And I'd go with it. It was still kind of warm when I get home after Bible study, but I thought about going over there, and I'd been over there, and sure enough, there was a 5-pound bag of sugar. There was the thing of Hershey's chocolate, a dozen eggs. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought she said chocolate pie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's all the ingredients of it. But you have to put it together to get the chocolate pie. The same thing is true when you and I look at our life and we look at situations that occur, and then we recognize, and the Bible says, you know, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When you and I recognize the providence of God, that God, through His providence, will work all things out, the Bible says, according to His will. So Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Let's go to a second thing here. David. The Bible said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's an interesting chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 30. David, he's been fighting a battle. He's been fighting against Saul. He had his men, I think he had 600, somewhere over 600. They went out to battle. When they came back to Ziklag, the enemy had come and had taken burned the city, burned everything, had taken his family, the children, taken all of that away. Man, these folks look at David, what are we going to do? The Bible says, if you have a Bible with you, turn with me just a minute to 1 Samuel. Go over to that 30th chapter. I want you to look at two or three things here. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I want you to see something. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. See, when things happen to us in life, you know, we well, what are we going to do? Well, let me show you what David did. The Bible says, David, verse number 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Now look at verse number 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. They wept, and the Bible says, until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever done that? They wept. Now, notice this. Skip down to verse number 6. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed. That's discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? You think about life, ladies and gentlemen. And you said to yourself, I have done this, I've worked, I've done this, and man, this thing ain't working out right. Now, I know ain't not a good word, but I'm preaching, I'm not teaching. So anyway, got to remember. Discouragement. He was distressed. He was discouraged. Now I want you to go down to verse number 8. And notice in verse number 8 the Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord. He wept. He was discouraged. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. But now, when you and I back up there to that sixth verse, and look at that last line, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I want to ask you a question. You and I find ourselves discouraged for some reason or another. And we find ourselves in a situation that's very uncomfortable, and we don't know what to do. What if someone who's supposed to encourage us doesn't come along? They're asleep or they're doing something else. And so here I am discouraged, and what am I going to do? The Bible said David encouraged. How do you encourage yourself? Now you think about this. When you think about discouragement, you think about things happening. I've never been to Adam's home, but I think his wife told me we're going to have a bit your house Monday. I want you to think about here. I go over there Monday and we have dinner, and so, man, we enjoy it. They treat us really nice. And so after the meeting is over, let's just say I stay a day or two later, and I go over to his house Friday, and I knock on the door, and he comes to the door, and He said, well, Brother Acuff, come in. I've got a black bag over my shoulder. So I walk in and we chat for a little while, but before I leave, I just take that bag I've got. It's kind of like a garbage bag, and I dump out in his living room everything in that garbage. It's a lot of garbage. Man, I've enjoyed my visit. See you later. I leave. Well, I hang around here for a couple of days. A couple of days later, I come back and I knock on his door. He comes to the door. I'm standing at his door. Guess what I got on my shoulder? Got a bag. Now, Adam's a gracious brother. Come in, Brother Acuff. We chat for a little while. I said, well, I got to leave, brother. And I take that garbage bag, and guess what I do? I dump the garbage out again in his living room. And I leave. Well, two or three days later, I come back and I knock on the door. This time, he's got the chain on the door. Kind of cracks it a little bit. Now, listen, watch this, folks. You and I need to put the chain on the door, because there may be television discouraging us. There may be some negative individual who's discouraging us. There may be some event that discourages you. The Bible says David encouraged himself. How do you encourage yourself? Get rid of some of this stuff that discourages you. You know, so many times, there are just some things that will discourage you. We have to get rid of that. And inquire of the Lord, doing a lot of prayer, for an example, will help us. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You and I learn to encourage yourself. Someone called me one day and they said, "Brother Acuff, I'm just so discouraged." I said, "Well, just read the Bible." They said, "Well, where?" I said, "It doesn't matter. Just open it up and read. You'll find something pretty soon." You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I find ourselves in a situation we're discouraged and someone doesn't come along, "Well, Brother Acuff, I was sick for 2 days and the elders never did call me." Well, bless your heart. You may have to encourage yourself. Doesn't mean the elders not interested. It just means that they didn't have an opportunity to attend. And so you and I, as Christians, we have to learn how to encourage ourselves, because we live in a dismal world, folks. And so if you live in a dismal world and you see that all of this is going on and all of a sudden you find yourself, "Man, Brother Acuff, I just don't know how." Well, just encourage yourself. You encourage yourself by the Scriptures. You encourage yourself by prayer. You encourage yourself. Now watch this. If you still have your Bible open, I want you to skip down there to verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, David went. David went. You know what that says? David got up and did something. So what do you do when you don't know what to do and you encourage yourself? You encourage yourself by doing. Maybe there's a member of the church that's been sick and you can just give them a call. Or maybe you just put your mask on and drop by their house. Here's something. Maybe you can call them up and on the phone and talk to them a little while. I'm thinking about you. I'm interested in you. How are you doing? David encouraged himself. He wept. He was discouraged. He was distressed, as the Scriptures say. He inquired of the Lord, and he encouraged himself and went. All right, now let's look at the next point. "And the Lord said unto him, Go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." 1 Kings 19:15. Go to work. You know, man, you think of Elijah. Wow. What an exciting man. If you read 1 Kings chapter number 18, now this is in the next chapter. 1 Kings chapter 18. There's a statement there, I forget what verse down, 12, 13, somewhere. The Bible says, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God, then serve Him. How long will you halt between two opinions?" And this, they were following Baal. You remember this. And so Elijah said, "Okay, we're going to have a contest. And whichever God answers is the God we're going to serve. That's the God we'll serve." So he said to these prophets of Baal, "Okay, I'm going to let you be first." So they built this altar and they put a bullock on it. And man, they began to cry to Baal. And they had cut themselves jumping. And Elijah, he kind of chided them. He said, "You know what? He may be on vacation right now. He's entertaining guests." And man, it come time for the evening sacrifice, and Baal, of course, had not answered. And so Elijah said, "Okay, it's my time." So he get 12 stones. He took the 12 stone, put the wood on it, dug a trench around it, and he put the bullock on it, and then he got 12 barrels of water and poured on it and poured down in it. And he prayed. 15-second prayer, according to the Bible, led. Fire came down from heaven, and it consumed the bullet, the wood, the stone, and lapped up all the water around it. He slew those priests of Baal. Now, watch this. You go to the 19th chapter, and what happened? Jezebel comes on the scene and she said, "Hey, buddy, old boy, let me tell you, I'm going to do you what you did to them. I'm going to get you." Now, you may not agree with this, but to me it scared the living daylights out of Elijah. He faced all those priests of Baal, but one woman scared the life out of him. He goes off and hides. What'd God say? God said, Elijah, go to work. 1 Kings 19:15. You go appoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to recognize, you know, the Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Bible tells us in John 9 verse 4, Jesus points this out. Our Lord tells us in Matthew chapter number 28 and Mark chapter 16 verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you and I, in Ephesians chapter number 4, there's an interesting passage of Scripture there. The Bible says in that passage of Scripture, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what? There's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, that will help our attitude. There's nothing that will help us to have the right kind to work. I read somewhere one time that if you lack energy, I don't know about you, but my goal, if I lack energy, is to sit on the couch with my iPad and play solitaire. I'm sure if I'll sit there long enough, I'll get enough energy to get up and do things. No, that won't work. But here's what works when I get up and do something. It's interesting how that activity, ladies and gentlemen, will spur us to do something, to work. So you and I, you know, you think about this. You find that we find ourselves in a pandemic. The world says, lock yourself up, lock yourself down. I understand that. I'm not going to get into that controversy. Lock yourself down. But have you ever thought about what you can do while you're locking yourself down? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about taking the church directory and just sit down and write a note to everybody in the church?
Well, Brother Acuff, you know how long that'll take?
Well, what are you doing? No. But it's giving you something, isn't it? Working. You imagine. Now, I'm not against texting. I'm not against text. iPhones, I'm telling you, if I lost my iPhone today, I'd have to quit preaching. I couldn't finish the meeting. I mean, I'd have to go cry, buy me one, do something. You know, we're so attached. That is the appendage to our hand nowadays. You ever notice that? I'm not against texting. Let me suggest this to us folks. When we take the time to take a piece of paper, to write a note, and we send that note to a brother or sister in Christ, we send that note to an elder and his wife, or to a Bible class teacher and his wife, and we send that note and we say, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and praying for you today, and I want you to know how much I love you and how much I appreciate you, and I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Now, I'm going to tell you, text is all right, but I'm going to tell you, that note. Abraham Lincoln was shot. What is it, Ford Theater, I think it was? I forget the date, but sometime in 1865, he was shot. And I can't remember everything, but when they itemized the things in his pocket, I think he had a pocket knife, and there were a couple of other things, I can't remember now exactly. But there was one thing I do remember. In his pocket He had been maligned. You don't think about this. See, folks don't realize this. Abraham Lincoln had been maligned tremendously. You and I look back at history, and we see it in history. But do you know one of the things that he had in his pocket the day he was shot was a handwritten letter of encouragement that he had received from someone? He's the President of the United States. And all of a sudden, he's shot. And when they inventory what he had on his body at that time was a note from someone, a letter, a note of appreciation. You may, well, I don't care about it. Yeah, you do. You may not admit it. But you go to your mailbox and you get a little. Now, I've learned something. Now here's the thing about it. If you send me a letter and you don't sign it, I'm not going to read it. I've got those. When I get an envelope and I look, if there's no return address, I open it. But the first thing I look at is there a signature. If there's not, I don't read it. Because there's a lot of folks who want to discourage you, and I'm not going to be discouraged by that. So you sign it, folks. Sign your name to it. But the point I'm trying to help us to see is, there are times when we just need to go to work. The church. I don't know about this congregation. I can only speak of Lithia Springs. I'm in my 17th year, soon to begin the 18th year with them. And folks, look, just like you, we've had difficult situations. Just like you, we've got folks who are not attending like they ought to attend. And it's easy for me to sit down and say, oh, man, this is awful. This is terrible. I will promise you this. Last Saturday, you guys did a great job, and you went door knocking. God bless you for that. You went. And so when you think about going and when you think about doing, you just went. Now, I want you to think about this. Will that door get me outside if I need to run in a hurry? Have you ever thought about doing that when you didn't have a door knocking day? The church doesn't have to get you a couple of tracks, get you one of these little plastic bags and put it in there, and just you and your wife, you and a friend, somebody, let's go door knocking. Do what? Let's go door knocking. See, the Bible, God said to Elijah, go. Went. Go do something. And that's what David did as well. Let's look at the next one here, if I can find my button. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and got him out. Now, I'm not trying to be flippant in this, but somebody said, what term in the Bible refers to baseball? This is it. Got him out. So anyway, Genesis 39:12. Continue to do right. See, folks, when all of the world is rejecting, or it appears that way, God. In Genesis chapter number 1, you remember, in the beginning was God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Have you ever thought about, ladies and gentlemen, service to God? He is the creator of all things. The Bible describes God in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and also in Hebrews that He is a consuming fire. You know what the Bible describes God as also? A destroyer in Genesis chapter number 18. But the Bible also describes God as a God of love, John 3:16. The Bible describes God as a God of forgiveness, Psalm 85:2. The Bible describes God as a God of mercy, Psalm 100. ladies and gentlemen, so what did we see Joseph? What did he continue to do right? See, I remember several years ago. Now, if you want to go broke in any business, just let me know. I can tell you how to go broke in any business. You know, it's just kind of interesting. I was going to be the next Warren Buffett, whatever thing it is. My wife and I owned two convenience stores, grocery. One of them maybe more of an online grocery or a grocery store, more of a major grocery store, and then a convenience store. We sold gas in both of those. Sold gas in both of them. Guess what? I ran out of gas between the stores. Now, folks, you got to think about this. Those stores, I talked to a brother at that time, and we were going having some difficulty. But I talked to this brother, and he and his wife divorced. And I can't remember now exactly. Their daughter had gone to college, was in school with our daughter. He had been an elder in the church. And I remember having lunch with him one day, and we were talking. He said, "Brother Acuff, you just don't know how bankruptcy will have an effect on you and your wife and your family." No, I don't. I didn't go bankrupt. Probably businesses wish I had, but I didn't. But the point was this. Sometimes when things get difficult, we make decisions that damage us. Joseph could have said, "Man, I've been through enough. I have been through all of this. I mean, my brother sold me, and they put me in this position, and here I am now. I'm a servant. And if I don't succumb to this temptation, I could lose my job." He didn't think about that. How can I sin against Potiphar? How can I sin against my God in him? That's what he thought about. The Bible said, got him out. He left. So many times, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I find ourselves, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Get out. Get out. I've read, I can't remember this young lady's name, one of our elders at Lithia Springs is Brother Gary Culbreth. Gary is a wonderful man. And those of you who have seen our program on Gospel Broadcasting Network, Brother Gary's he produces the program, does a lot of work. If it weren't for Gary, it wouldn't be there. I appreciate Gary. He was telling about a young lady that grew up in his community. All of the young ladies, they had this kind of a little group of young ladies that kind of a club, if you want to call it that, and all of these young ladies had had a sexual relationship with a football player. And that's what you really had to do in order to be in this club. And they kept encouraging her. They kept encouraging her. You know, we like. And one day, they said to her, "Don't you want to be like us?" Here's what she said: "I can be like you any day I want, but you can never be like me." You see, ladies and gentlemen, the time comes in our life when we have to make the determination, "I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God says for me to do." Matthew 6:33, and I'm sure throughout this week you'll hear me use that more than once. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, remember that the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So, continue to do right. All right, let's go to the next one. Did I get this thing upside down? There we go. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. All of us know the story of Job. You know, so many times, maybe friends, relatives, folks that you've been associated with, and all of a sudden you notice that they're not faithful, they're not attending the assembly of the saints, they're not serving God. And you look and you go talk to them and say, well, Brother Acuff, you just don't know what I've been through. I'm sure that's true. You think about what Job went through. You know, you look at losing all of your children. Think about this. He lost all of his children. What if you went home today and you discovered that your house, while you were here at the assembly, that your house burned, everything there destroyed? And then you say, well, we'll rent a motel, and all of a sudden you discover that someone has hacked your accounts at the bank, and now you can't go, your credit card doesn't work anymore. You have your credit card, your house is gone. And while you're walking around looking at your house, you fall and you break both legs. That's what a fellow would say when you're in a mess. Now, folks, that's worse than that happened to Job. Now, I want you to think about something. His wife, then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Go to the end of the book of Job. When you go to the end of the book of Job, do you know who's still with him? His wife. His wife. She'd been driving around in a Mercedes, or she'd been driving around in a Lincoln XYZZYF, I don't know whether, you know, one of these SUVs, and man, she's the high hat of the town. Everybody knows Job's wife. She gets what she wants. I mean, everybody, there's Job's wife, man, you know. And now, she don't even have a horse to ride. Job, but have watched this, folks. Did you know God never said a word to Job's wife? Why, you old sorry thing, you ought to have been there to encourage. But you know what he did do? Remember those three friends, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar, who tell him, "Oh, Job, you've sinned, and you, God got back to these guys." But at the end, who's there? His wife. He has children. God blesses him. Ladies and gentlemen, just remember this: do not curse God. You know, you may get aggravated. I do sometimes, don't you? I get aggravated. But do not curse God. Now, let's go to the last one. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. You remember this. Peter, James, and John. They go, our Lord goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. There's an interesting word, though, I think, and I'm not a, I don't know Greek, so I'm not a Greek scholar of any sort. But I think there's one of the word there's a word there. What do I have, about 4 or 5 minutes left? 5 minutes. There's a word there that is agony. The word agony, distress. I think actually when you read that scripture, there's several words that will describe our Lord Jesus Christ on that occasion. What did he do? Goes into the garden and he prays. And he comes back out and here's Peter, James, they've gone to sleep on him. Goes back in, he prays. Comes back out, they've gone, he go back in, he prays. ladies and gentlemen, prayer. You know, you think about the value of prayer. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says that we need to pray without ceasing. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that because at our lesson this morning in our worship, I'm going to speak on it. But when you and I look at this great blessing, I'm going to tell you something. Doesn't matter what your political position is. If you are a supporter and encourager of President Biden, I will guarantee you, you get on the phone this afternoon and see if you can talk to him. Yeah, not going to talk to him. They keep sending me all this, you know, I get all this stuff, don't you, in an email. I get 450 emails every hour, you know, well, give us this, give us that. I'm going to tell you something. I could give Biden or Trump or anybody $1,000. I call, they don't know, they just send us another 1,000. I'm not going to get in touch with him. I'm not going to be able to get in touch with us. I can send my senator an email, and you know what I'll get back? We sure do thank you for your question, and blah, 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 blah. The same thing they send out to 100 million other folks. Think about that. But ladies and gentlemen, I can go to God right now, and He will hear me. You think about that. He's not the President of the United States. He's not in Congress. He is the Creator of everything we have. And He will listen to me. I don't know about you, but I know myself, ladies and gentlemen, that what do you do when you don't know what to do? Continue to serve God. Go to work. Stand still. Go to God in prayer. You and I have so many things that we can do. I do not have to go out today discouraged. Someone said this. Two men looked out of prison bars. One saw mud and the other stars. You and I, you know, the Bible says, for us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I can think positively or I can think negatively. You can choose whatever way you want to go. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to choose to follow the Word of God. I'm going to choose to pray. I'm going to choose to think positive. I'm going to choose to put everything I have in the hands of God, knowing that He's going to bless me. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father, we are so grateful for the beautiful day You've blessed us with. We thank You for this congregation. Thank You for Brother Adam, the preacher, and for these good men who serve as elders and their wives. For each member who is here, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to study Your Word. We ask Your blessings upon us throughout today and throughout this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.